This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Hi, this is Dave Dufour. The following episode of Theater Geeks was recorded before the Indiana Community Theater League competition back in March before we headed down to Kokomo. It's John, Marcia, and I talking about the whole competition aspect of festivals, the value of the festivals from a competitive and from an educational standpoint and more. So enjoy.
Are we going to start again?
Yes,
are
we're going
doing
to start
stand-up?
Again.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Today's episode, it's not about the awards, or is it? Actually, this episode is about the festival experience or competing in community theater festivals. There's a national and, well, there's a state, regional, national network of... And international network of community theater festival slash competitions. And many community theaters get involved and some don't. And I don't know, why do we... Our home theater does get involved. Why do we do that?
I'm being looked at. Okay.
Because it's such fun to load up everything and haul it out of here forever.
I don't know. You know, for me, I find it a challenge. I think it's a lot of fun. It's also, so the challenge of designing and building a set, the challenge of creating the excerpt, the challenge of, you know, which means, you know, melting the whole thing down and putting it into 57 minutes. I mean, the moving everything to a different location, trying to figure out how it all fits into a 10 by 10 box, rehearsals, the speed, all that, you know, I just find it kind of like an adrenaline rush. But at the same time, I think for me and for the theater, it's a good networking so that we can see what other theaters are doing across the state, but also meet the other people who are running the theaters across the state, find out what kind of work they're doing, what's working, what's not working. Talking to adjudicators, listening to their feedback often helps to give you a more critical eye on what you're doing as a director or as a performer.
Right.
So, I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons why I think the theater festival experience is important.
Yeah, kind of in our pre-show prep, such as it is, we were kind of talking about that, but we didn't really talk about adjudication. And I think that that's... maybe one of the better reasons to get involved is just so that you get those third and fourth sets of eyes, whoever they happen to be, looking at your work and making suggestions one way or the other. Sometimes they're a little cruel.
Well, they're trained to not be cruel, but sometimes they're cruel.
Yeah, sometimes they are anyway. But normally it's pretty constructive stuff. That is true.
I think it's constructive. I mean, it's interesting to listen to. If the audience out there could see Marcia's face, I think she disagrees. So, but that's fine.
Are you not a fan of the adjudication or not, Marcia?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because it's subjective and it's what one person thinks.
Uh-huh.
And I don't care how many classes they go to or how many little things they have to write. What makes them know any more than any of us who have been in community theater for 30 or 40 years? What makes them know better what makes a good show? I mean, you know, I just don't like that particular process.
Okay.
If you're going to judge it, it should be strictly kind of, you know, something that concrete that you can see, that you can write down, I think.
Okay.
And I've seen too many adjudicators get up there and grab the little mic just like they were doing stand-up comedy and play to the rest of the house as they make little barbs at whatever theater they're adjudicating. And I don't like it. So there. That's what I have to say about that, John.
Okay, so what about...
well, I have, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, I think we all have.
I think
have,
we've all had that experience. You know, if you've done any more than a few of these, you do run into some adjudicators who maybe don't have a handle on their egos.
Is that kind of what, is that
yeah,
a good
say? Yeah, and I don't
say?
Think that's fair.
No, it isn't. It probably isn't fair because in essence, they're a lot of the adjudicators, of course, are college professors, and they should maybe approach it from the standpoint that community theater comes to them in essence as students of the arts and deserves more than just to be put down. Right?
I don't know. I don't know if they're college professors or not.
Well, a lot of them are.
I guess I've never felt... Uh-uh. I mean, okay, I take that back. I have had one adjudication session where I felt like the adjudicators didn't get the show
right
at all. Almost, in my thoughts, they didn't even read the script that was sent to them. I mean, it was that was the way it felt. But for the most part, I don't feel like the adjudicators have an agenda or have a set idea of what is good theater, what is not good theater. I think if it's a perfect world, they're supposed to be adjudicating based on the type of show that it is. Are you producing a comedy? Are you producing a musical? Are you producing a drama? Are you producing a historical? That's what they're supposed to be adjudicating on, and then
right.
there are criteria based around that. That
but,
they know,
but if they hate musicals, they probably don't understand them very well, and
they may not understand.
And maybe they should, as we say, legally recuse themselves from judging. But that's hard to do because they're there to judge everything.
Yeah. Well, we ran into something a couple of years ago where the particular adjudicators had never seen this complete production of this particular show, and they just thought it was wonderful. Now, having seen this particular show several times, I could tell them it wasn't wonderful at all, but they had nothing to judge it by.
Right.
That's what bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, but...
Sorry, that's...
Yeah, but like in that... Because they hadn't seen a complete production, the excerpt seemed great, or...
Well, I don't know if it was just the excerpt seemed great. They just thought it was beautifully done, and all the people in it were just amazing. And they weren't. They were, at best, adequate.
And they were wrong for they were not, their characterizations, in other words, weren't right for the actual play itself.
Right.
Sometimes, and that brings up a good point. Now, for people who aren't familiar, festivals typically are what we would call excerpt festivals. So you take a play that your community theater has produced and distill it down to 1 hour. And you may do one act or the second act, or you may try to judiciously cut with, by the way, the publisher's permission, and develop a 1 hour presentation of the play. And I think we've seen where sometimes the excerpt's better than the play.
Oh, I think you can truly make a play better by cutting it sometimes.
Very often. Yeah. I mean, that especially some older plays that we've produced that I've directed, as a matter of fact, could have used a few things come out of it. But you're not supposed to do that.
I think the adjudication process has also changed over the years. The organization now does excerpt adjudication, but there was a time I remember when the adjudicators used to come to your theater and adjudicate individual shows. That's been years though, and that may have been for granting purposes or something
Yeah, I think that was for grants.
I remember
when they came.
We had somebody
Leslie was here. I do remember, but I think that was for grant purposes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, may have been. So, we may have also had. I think even earlier than that, we had one come over to our theater. But that can be very helpful, especially, of course, a lot of times it's nice to have that adjudicator show up at a couple of rehearsals because sometimes they bring that second set of eyes and another idea and things like that, depending on, whether they really understand the play or not.
But for me, festival is more than just about the adjudication process,
though. Right.
I mean, it's a networking situation. These are people that I get to see once a year.
Right.
Find out how their theaters are dealing with things. Talk with them about financial stuff. Talk with them about, how their seasons may have changed over the last couple of years.
Right.
It's an open dialogue, I'll have to admit, they're a lot of fun sometimes. And
sure.
There's great parties.
I
mean, it's a way of celebrating theater. If more than anything, maybe that's what the festival is for, is it's a celebration of theater.
Right.
And it's good to see what other people are doing across the state. Now, I know that you can go to your own, you know, through your own community theaters around your area and see full-length productions and determine it at that point as well. But it's nice to kind of have a what do you call that? A
convention.
Well, yeah. No.
I mean, that's what it is, really.
I can't think of the word. I can see it in my head.
Is
it a point where you can tell whether or not you're doing better or worse than maybe other
sort of a point of reference, in other words.
A point of reference. There's the word. It's a phrase, not a word that I was looking for.
Yeah, but I like what you were talking about with the idea that just internally, the preparation and everything for something like this, you're really preparing an excerpt for a different kind of venue. I mean, it may be a regular theater, but because you have to make your set and stage and the whole play portable, mm-hmm. and put it together, it enforces a kind of team mentality on your theater troupe that you don't necessarily have when you're producing a play. A full-length play. You have less time. I think there's a kind of a, you know, the competition forces teamwork, and maybe it pushes people together and makes people better friends or mortal enemies.
It's worked both ways.
See what I mean, though? You see what I mean, though?
I do.
You get the pressure of making everything really work, and then when it does work, and this has nothing to do with winning the competition, but when it does work, when you actually accomplish the goal of trooping a show and you know, getting it out of the box in 5 minutes and back in the box in 5 minutes and doing the run in an hour and all that kind of stuff, as a team, you've won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I think so.
And there's a certain amount of camaraderie that comes out of that kind of competitiveness, and as long as you don't poke each other's eyes out before you get there. Coming back to that, how important is winning?
Depends on who you are. I mean, for some people...
Is that not why you go?
I think it's one of the reasons why you go. I don't think it's the only reason to go. I mean, it is nice to come away with the first place.
Well, does give you a certain amount of exposure. It can give you some exposure in your own local community or statewide, and maybe help to build audience. Somebody hears in your community that the theater has won some awards, and then that may help to build audience.
It does, I think. It also helps because suddenly you're able to send out, I mean, it's just one additional set of press, even if you want to say, that can help your theater. You know, this year we placed first in the state, you know, and it can, it gives you another chance to write a press release, another chance to get a picture in the paper, another chance to possibly get maybe a little bit of television or radio coverage. And it helps to support that theater. But at the same time, I think it helps to support theater across the state as well, an awareness of the theater that's going on
around
the state.
Yeah, and I'm wondering too if it's something that if you're really good at it, you can parlay a win or say a consistent competitive edge into fundraising efforts as well. You know, you go to a potential donor and are able to say, you know, we've won state competition in certain categories, you know, 3 of the last 10 or 5 years or whatever it is, and we're consistently in the top
two or three, yeah.
Then, you know, that says a lot about the quality of the art and the quality of the organization that you're asking the donor to support.
Right.
So that seems good. Yes, and it's a great party.
And sometimes you just have to put up with bad adjudications.
Yeah.
Well...
Sorry.
Yeah. Have we ever? Does it do any good, or is it even worthwhile to protest adjudications?
You can't. There's no protesting an adjudication. Once it's done, it's done. It's
right. I mean, once the trophy is in the first place winner's hands, there's not much point of it. But there is sort of out there who have had, you know, maybe been on the receiving end of what they think is an unfair adjudication, I think it's pretty safe to say that adjudicators that kind of get a reputation for that kind of go away after a while, or the organizations they start to realize that, wait a minute, this guy is making mm-hmm. more enemies than friends, and it isn't because, you know, it's because he doesn't quite... his approach is wrong.
They don't necessarily know how to handle it. So, I mean, there's a certain standard for adjudication, and when you're judging, you're not supposed to You're not supposed to give criticism. It's bizarre. You're allowed to give criticism, but it's supposed to be in a positive format. It's not supposed to be like you're giving notes to the cast, like a director right. would be giving. And it's not supposed to be like a critic or a reviewer would be giving. It's supposed to be positive reinforcement, even if it's on a negative topic, so that the so that when and if you were to move on to another competition, or to say there are some people who are doing this show before it actually is produced on their main stage, so now they can take that positive criticism in a negative way even, and maybe help to refine the show before
it's verbiage like, as you move forward with this, my suggestion would be to take this and expand in this area, or right. you know,
I didn't feel like I or yeah, you can't say I didn't feel, but they could say you might want to consider working on the characterizations and making them stronger and more identifiable.
Right.
Something of that nature.
Yeah.
So that, and that's them saying, you know what, your characters were really bad.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't developed. It was obvious that there was no thought process behind them, and which is what we as audience members also often want to say, is like, where was the thought process?
Right.
But they have to say it in a positive way.
Right. And of course, with our process, the way we are doing it is that we go to the competition really after the production has been on our stage.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it again.
No, so. That's something else that's kind of, you have to look forward to see which show in your season, hopefully, you might want to take to competition, and make sure that everyone in the cast can go.
Right.
And that if by any chance you took first place, they could then move on to the regional competition and possibly even the nationals. Now, we've had several that were scuttled because we had major characters in the show who couldn't go. They had a vacation planned, or they had something else and they wouldn't change it, and therefore they just... It made it impossible for everybody to go. And at that stage, you can't recast everything. We did that once. And,
you can recast to some degree at the state level, but after that, you're not supposed to.
Right, exactly.
Those are the act rules, essentially.
The only way you can recast after state is if
somebody dies.
Well, or if you have to apply for special permission to do it.
Yeah. So
you have to really look ahead to make sure that...
You do, and we usually pick... We have in the past actually picked the shows that we thought this show is going to be a festival piece.
Right.
We don't always do it. Now, the last 2 years, the show that we've taken the festival has not necessarily been the show that we had not actually chosen a show to go to festival the last 2 years. That may change next year, you know. So,
right.
But that's, you know, it just depends for us on what year it is and whether or not we even thought about it.
Yeah, well, it's just something that you need to think about when you're casting. Mm-hmm. If you really think your show has a potential to be a winner in the, you know, in the state competition.
The other thing, I guess, along with that, and you kind of bounced off a point that I think is important, Marcia, is that... maybe when you're casting, you look not only at people in terms of whether they can their schedule will handle it, but whether you think you can stand these people for 6 months, or whether they're going to be able to stand each other for 6 months. And that isn't a small point. I mean, we've done festivals can be stressful, and tempers can flare, and it's kind of, and people can kind of get sick of seeing each other. You do, even doing one festival, I've been director for one show to festival, and besides actually producing the show on stage, we went to state and then we went to regional, and I think, you know, I kind of lived with that show, and the cast lived with each other in some way or form or another for almost 6 months, and it was we were kind of glad it was over.
In 2003, when we were competing at the regional level, there was a group there from Ohio
had not been competing
but had been together for 18 months.
As a cast.
Oh, my Lord.
Because they did the show for their theater.
Right.
And then they did the show again for their state competition, which was almost a year prior to the regional.
Oh, wow.
So they had this huge... huge amount of time when they had to be, you know, they come back for rehearsals and they would touch it up.
Why would a state?
It's just the way it worked.
Schedule.
It's just the way it worked for them that year. Some states have more than one festival. You have to, you know, some, like for example, Michigan actually has two festivals.
Do they really?
They
and
do.
They're so act festivals.
Yeah. Ohio has two different festival circuits as well, so it just depends on what festival they were participating in, and then when they, you know, and it's just the way it works for them. It's just so for us in Indiana, we only have one festival every year.
Okay,
but some states have two.
Wow,
just depends on, and we have two community theater, organizations in this state, but only one of them competes with the festival.
Okay. All right. Well, so we have two positive votes for festivals and one sort of lukewarm.
One is iffy.
One is iffy.
I'll be iffy.
Be okay. Iffy.
And the parties iffy. Are great.
Miss Iffy. But the parties are great.
You
can vote yes.
Oh, I don't drink that much and I have a good time.
Oh, I drink like a fish and it's great.
We know that.
So there we go. We got the three.
Bloop,
bloop, bloop, bloop. Anyway. Yeah. Well, that's it for Theater Geeks for this episode. We will please join us next time for Theater Geeks. Be sure to stop by the website, follow us on Twitter, and also subscribe via iTunes. You can subscribe at the Zune Marketplace. You can follow us at the Blueberry Network, by the way, blueberry.com. That's blueberry without any E's in it.com. And also you can sign up for our newsletter, and you'll find out when every episode actually gets released to the podcast feed. So check out all those things. Also check out our store at www.theatergeeks.com/store and buy all your great geek gear. That's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.